a little confusing for us as to what we're doing here. We actually have Rob Linton in the booth. Rob Linton, ladies and gentlemen, is on the air. And Mr. Rob, there he is. He's going to talk to us.
I am, yes. I've never been here before, I don't think.
I don't think you ever have. And you have an announcement.
Well, this is my last Sunday with you guys on WHAM.
It is a very sad and joyous, sad day for us, joyous for Rob.
Yeah, no, I've been at WHAM now for 10 years, and I decided that I kind of like to have my Sundays back. You know what I'm saying?
I have no idea what that feels like.
Well, you wouldn't know. You work all the time. But now, how long since Soundbite's been here?
Here at Wham?
Yeah. Five or six,
yeah.
I was going to say, and I've been with you guys since day one.
Yeah,
here
yeah
at
you
Wham.
Have.
I remember the first day as if it was yesterday.
But it wasn't.
It wasn't.
For you, it's a lot closer to yesterday than it is for us.
Yeah. No, I've had a lot of fun. It's been, it's amazing that you can actually come to work and, have a good time and laugh. And I'll tell you what, I'll have to eat rum balls in the privacy of my own home now.
That's right.
But I'll be coming over to Dave's house to get my stock.
You're going to be a guest on the show.
I would love to come back. I would love to come back for the holiday show if you guys will have me.
Yep,
absolutely. And it'd be kind of nice to actually sit at that table and just be able to hang out and talk rather than having a
The problem. We won't be on the air for a normal Christmas.
Oh, that's true. We won't. We won't be back till January.
Well, let's do Christmas in February. You know what I'm saying? We'll check our calendars and see how that's going.
I love the idea.
It's been a lot of fun, and I thank you guys. I mean, like I say, being able to come in on Sundays and just have a great time, and it's been a lot of fun.
Well,
I appreciate
it's been joyous
it.
For us. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm.
It's been 7 years here. December 2001.
Has it really?
Yeah.
7 years? Wow. Time flies when you're having fun.
You were new
it?
When we started.
Well, I'd been here about three years, I think, when we started. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
You were young and
I was still in college.
Baby cheeked and, nothing's changed.
I'll stop
it. Really?
No, I was still in school.
Trick. Yeah, you never have to pay back your loans as long as you're still a student.
I know. I'm trying to think what degree I want to go get next. You know what I mean? No. But anyway, we'll have a good time today. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, we will. I'm looking forward to it myself. All right. Let's start with some news. Other news. We've had the big news from Rob. I better say it all now because I won't say it again. Rob Linton. There we are. All right. Karina Wells, a Google employee in Australia, received a Facebook message from a friend saying he was stranded in Lagos, Nigeria, and needed $500 for a plane ticket home. What made her suspicious was her Australian friend's use of American terms like cell phone instead of mobile.
Yeah.
So Wells pretended that she was going to send the money via Western Union and instead turned the case over to authorities. Other Facebook users might not be so wise. Such Nigerian scams are common over email, but not on Facebook, where you're only supposed to receive email from friends in your network unless one of them has had their account compromised. Email from social networking sites are much more likely to get into our email accounts in the first place, since they don't have the obvious hints that botnet spam does, such as a known bad sender IP address or known bad headers or known bad email construction, which causes them to be filtered out. But this incident actually goes one step further. We will no doubt see more electronic con men using stolen Facebook identities to steal money directly from the innocent by posing as their online buddies unless more people take greater care over securing their computers and personal data. Basically, the message is, and you know it because we've told it to you over and over and over again, don't trust a message just because it looks like it comes from a friend. Verify information before you do anything. Oh, and keep your PC updated with the latest antivirus and firewall solution and operating system updates. As long as you do those things, you'll be farther and farther ahead. The spammers and scammers are hitting the social networks really hard right now. A lot of the stuff going on MySpace and on Facebook.
Skype, too.
And on Skype is very, very, very much tuned toward getting you to click a link or send money or do whatever. So be much more careful. Oh, and speaking of social networks, I just joined Twitter.
Hooray!
I'm on Twitter now, so those of you who want to follow me, I let people know this morning that the show was actually on 11 to 1. So they knew when to actually listen in. Today, I'm on Twitter, Nick Francesco, all one word, of course. They don't allow spaces in Twitter names. So feel free to join up and follow me.
I joined up last night and followed you, and this morning, three people I don't know are following me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll happen on Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they'll follow you until they're bored of you, and then they'll go away.
That's right. Yeah, and
my one post last night was, I'm on Second Life with sound bites.
Yeah, right. I'm following you, too. You know me. I'm following you.
Yeah, you and Jerry and some guy from your list, because I went back and, so people following you are also following me.
See?
So they must think I'm good.
Yes, they do. Now you only have the horrible social pressure of being good.
Yeah.
Give it a shot.
And I'm installing...
I'm not even going there.
I'm installing Twitterific on my iPod now.
Of course you are. So you
can update myself.
Tweet from the...
I could do it on my phone, but that's so last year.
That's last year. No, yeah. It's the iPod now.
You know, Nick, back to that first story. I've been in Lagos a couple of times, and I can tell you, for $500, you're not doing anything out of Lagos. You're maybe a domestic flight. You're not getting anywhere out of the country $500.
Right.
So that should be applied,
too. In-country, $500 is a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that will cause riots if they know you have that much money.
Yeah, right. Interesting. So you're the one doing all this stuff from Nigeria.
I get the stuff from Ghana on Skype. If I mistakenly leave if I leave my status on Skype Me, I'll get what are allegedly young girl students need money for the rest of their schooling.
Oh.
All the time I get that.
Poor
so I
young
have to be
ladies.
Yeah, they probably look a lot like you.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
So I said, never mind.
Yeah, unfortunately, most of my groupies look a lot like me, too.
We get a lot of junk orders on our web store from Ghana.
Do you?
There's this one guy that keeps wanting us to ship stuff to Ghana, even though we say no shipments outside the U.S. He could be a legitimate guy, but we kind of doubt it.
Yeah.
But we're getting all these weird orders from all over the world.
Tell him you'll use a freight forwarder.
Yeah.
And, you know, just before we get to the phones, I have to tell you, they stopped a guy who'd been sending out spam. The company was called McColo. Colo is short for co-location. It's where you put your servers when you want to be right on the backbone of the internet.
Right.
There's a co-location facility. His place was called McColo. They stopped him, and he was doing 75% of all spam.
Whoa.
Immediately dropped 75% when they captured him.
Astonishing.
75%. This guy must have been rolling in dough like he was minting it.
Now, where was he located?
In California.
Okay.
But he had servers all over the world.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So they took him down.
I gave a talk last Wednesday on distributed computing, and we had fielded a question from the audience on how much extra data traffic will this cause on the internet to be doing all these processing of data sets. And I said, not nearly as much as spam, but...
Yeah, right.
Came to the conclusion that they were just data bursts that we're talking about in distributed computing. But if you get rid of 75% of spam, you've gotten rid of a lot of traffic on the net.
Right. Now, Chris did a presentation on distributed computing. Is it available up on the site or website?
Not yet.
I was going to ask you today to give me a presentation.
It should be, because I used my slides as an adjunct to my speech. So... to look at the slides alone is not to get the full story.
Yeah, I'm going to have the audio file. I figured the CIDR ones are so long, we'll just upload them.
Okay.
We'll get the CIDR audio uploaded to the CIDR page, and then...
we'll figure it out offline.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the phones. Our first caller is Carl from Pottstown, PA.
Hey, here I am in Pottstown.
How are things in Pottstown?
Where is Pottstown?
Really good. We're west of Philadelphia. And we're a nice little town here, and I'm glad you're on live today.
Thank you, me too. You're not anywhere near Pottsville, are you?
Yeah, it's very close.
Right near the Yingling Brewery.
Or Pottsdam.
Or Potts
That's up
Grove.
This way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who is this Potts guy, and he got around PA,
he got around pretty
he?
Good, yeah.
Big family?
Yeah, there actually was a guy named Potts who founded Pottstown way back sometime in the 1700s, I think.
There you go. So what's your question, Carl?
Okay. I think my computer is infected. I tried to use Google and typed in the URL, www.google.com, went to the Google webpage, typed in a search term, and was taken, when I clicked on the search term, I mean on the search, you know, the results page,
right.
I went to a totally unrelated website.
And what was that website?
Well, I'll tell you, it's up on my screen right now. I typed in sound bites into Google. I got the proper response, you know, sound bites link, and I am now at... workanalogy.info/search.php. every place Google takes me ends in info.search.php. Yahoo's doing the same thing. Now, if I type a URL directly into the URL field and I don't make a mistake typing, everything works fine. But if I try to go through Google or Yahoo, I always get sent to something called .info/search.php. And let's see here. Excite, AltaVista, Ask.com, and Dogpile work fine. Google and Yahoo both do the same thing. They malfunction.
That's common. If you misspell an address, it sends you to whatever domain Parker is got that address, that misspelled address.
Right, but I'm not actually typing anything in except Google.com. I'm just clicking on the Google search result.
And you're using our stuff from the Tango?
And
I couldn't do the Tango completely because there's more to my problem that may give you a clue. Mm.
Well, in the Google search result, does the address list correctly? And then when you click on it, it goes to the wrong address.
Well, I'll tell you exactly. I'm looking at the search result, home.soundbites, with the longest running computer show.
Mm-hmm.
And right below that, it says soundbites.org. Right?
So which is the correct address, yeah.
Now, I will click on soundbites again, which I just did, and I'll wait a second for it to come up. The URL address changes to go.google.com/a-lot-of-stuff, and then it just changed to arrest. Can't even read it, but it does end in .info/search.php. It always ends in that.
You've been
hijacked.
You've been hijacked.
And here's what happened. It's probably a JavaScript.
Mm-hmm.
So the easiest thing to do is to clear out your cache.
Okay.
And then shut down your web server and start it up again.
Okay.
The theory is that should handle it. If not, you're going to have to dance the security tango.
Super anti-spyware can fix it. Malware Bytes can fix it.
Mm-hmm. Bytes is the one that I like the best.
Have you tried MSN? Because they're also affected by this same Trojan.
No, I haven't found them yet. I'll have to give them a try and see what happens.
Yeah.
But you want a program that's called Malware Bytes.
Okay.
And that does a fantastic job of cleaning stuff out, especially the current stuff that's going around.
All right, we're going to take a quick break.
That's a tricky one, because go.google.com is not a valid address.
Right. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 20 minutes after the hour. This is Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Golly, I'm remembering how to do this. Microsoft on Tuesday explained why it's been unable to patch a 7-year-old bug until recently, saying that it was only in the last year. That's my favorite part. It was only in the last year that it figured out how to fix the flaw without breaking most network-based applications. The bug is in Microsoft's SMB server message block protocol, which is used by Windows to share files and printers over a network. It was patched Tuesday as part of the company's normal monthly security updates. What stood out, however, wasn't the fix as much as the time it took Microsoft to come up with the patch. 7 years between the time the vulnerability was first discussed and when the patch was released. Microsoft Security Response Center spokes individual Christopher Budd said, when this issue was first raised back in 2001, we said we could not make changes to address this issue without negatively impacting network-based applications. And to be clear, the impact would have been to render many or nearly all customers' network-based applications then inoperable. Apparently, now they can do it. I don't know what's happened to code that hasn't been changed in 7 years that suddenly made it feasible for them to do it. But now they managed to do it. The guy also said, it looks like Microsoft has been noodling on this for a while and they came up with a way to solve the problem. We probably could have solved it back then if we had a few months to noodle on it.
Noodle?
Okay. To noodle on it.
A few months?
Wow.
So instead of taking a few months back then, they took 7 years.
Yeah. Okay. It's just, that's reprehensible. I'm sorry. It's just, it's absolutely reprehensible. The good news is it's been fixed.
Well, is there any time limit on noodling?
No, apparently noodling can take up to 7 years at least.
We know, okay. No statute of limitations.
Well, as long as we're clear on noodling.
Right, no statute of limitations on noodling.
All right.
Wow.
The noodle has occurred. It only took 7 years.
Does this impact those of us running Linux servers with Samba?
No, that was fixed a long time ago for
okay.
you. Yeah. The minute it was known, it was fixed for you. You've had the fix for 7 years.
Good.
Just Microsoft couldn't figure out how to fix it.
I understand.
They even had, it's like getting the cheat sheet. They even had the open source code to look at, and they couldn't figure out how to fix it.
Hey, I'm speechless.
Noodling yeah. takes time.
Noodling takes time, and it took them time to noodle.
Don't yeah. mess with noodling.
All right, our next caller is Diane from Henrietta. Welcome, Diane. What's your question?
Hi, Nick, and everybody else. I have a jewelry business that I'm starting to think about putting online, and I don't want to sell my gems right away online, but I do down the road. And I've been hearing a lot about a certain programming language called something Ruby Rails or Ruby on
Ruby
Rails.
On Rails.
What is, Nick, can you tell me about that?
Yes, yes, in fact, Diana can. Ruby on Rails is a programming language that lets Ruby programmers, people who program in Ruby, write web applications quickly and easily because instead of having to write all the code yourself, you can just use things called gems, get it? Ruby gems, which are little bitty programs that other people have written and put them together to make things happen. So if you know Ruby or you want to learn Ruby and you also learn Rails, then you can do that all pretty easily and it works fine. The important thing to note, however, is that you still need to understand Ruby. A lot of beginning people who say they know Ruby on Rails don't really. They know how to put a few Lego blocks together, but they don't know how to write the internal glue that holds it together.
Rails part of it is not something that's really quick to do, but the Ruby part is.
No, the other way around.
Oh.
Rails is pretty easy. If everything you want to do is available as a gem, then you can do stuff quickly and easily. It's snapping Lego blocks together. But if you have to write internal code yourself, you'd better actually know Ruby. And the people who do magnificent and marvelous things. But it does take time to learn it. If what you're looking for is building an online store, there's a couple of different ways to go about it. If you work with somebody who does these things for a living, and there are several dozen people in town who do, there are commercial programs and open source programs that will essentially be your store. You don't have to actually write anything. So depending on who you go with as your internet service provider, right, that then they can help you build that stuff and put that stuff online, yes, for a small fee, but I would shop around. Go to places like WhizBang Web and CLSS Enterprises and those kind of places and talk to them about what you want to do. Get a quote for what you want.
Do you think the best way to do it is to go to a web development or web hosting firm instead of like an ad agency or design firm that can make it look good?
Now that's two different things.
And that's always been the problem that we've run into over the years is the ad agencies make websites look really good, but the code is terrible.
Not always. A lot of ad agencies now have coders on staff. So
and the coders could make really good code.
If I don't know how to design it, I need to go to an agency that can design it and has good programming too.
Right. Right. And, this is going to be your business, so take your time. Talk to a bunch of different ad agencies. Talk to a bunch of different web designers. Take a look at their portfolios. See what they've already done. And that will give you an idea of how their material works out and find something you like. You will find, and you're going to have to do your research, but you will find that there are ad agencies that have terrific programmers. And there are programming companies that have terrific designers. You just have to find the match for you.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Sure. Good luck, Diane. I think you're going to find that your choices are pretty wide. There are a number of exceptional groups in both segments. So good luck. I think you'll enjoy that a lot.
And if you're looking for something quick and easy and free, a lot of small business owners are using eBay stores. Yeah, there's no programming involved. It's virtually free to use.
Right. Right.
Everybody knows how to get to it.
Everybody knows how to get to eBay at the other end, so it's easy to find you. It's just a pain in the neck.
She would be well served as well by insisting on open source code. That doesn't lock her into a particular vendor.
Right. All right. Right. All right. Our next caller is Joseph from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Joseph. What's your question?
I hope this is an appropriate question on air, Nick, but I'm having trouble subscribing to Ask Nick.
Yes.
On the 24th of October, I filled out your form on your URL.
Yeah.
And then it said to submit, but it wanted to either a check or a to go through PayPal.
Right.
I do not pay over the line.
No, and that's understandable. So what you do is you say you're going to pay by check.
Yes.
Then you hit the button, and it doesn't ask you for any money information,
yes.
And then you send me a check.
Here's what I did do. I downloaded your form.
Right.
I wrote out a check. This is 24th of October. Sent it to the address on the form, a Shepherd, 20 Shepherd Street, as I recall.
Don't say my address over the air, please.
Okay.
And that was not the right address, so that could be your problem.
Yeah, it's not 20, but it is listed on the sheet of paper, actually. Yeah, I don't know that I got it, but if I did, I'll either call you or email you back, because the form you would send me in would not have a password for you.
Well,
so I would probably set it up with a temporary password and give you the instructions on how to change the password.
I feel like I'm in a programmer's loop here, because I did receive your emails. Thank you very much. You're very, very, very swift and attentive. I appreciate that. And then it said something about I was enrolled in Nick Light. And then I asked you what kind of beverage that was.
Now I remember.
I didn't get the ha-ha. So anyway, Nick.
Right. Here's the deal. I remember exactly your situation, and I have not actually seen the letter yet, which probably has a check in it. So I'll be looking forward to that. I've actually asked the post office to trace it for me. I'm hoping to hear an answer this week.
Well, yeah, I do, too, because I really think that you are going to be a wonderful asset to my newbieism.
Well, thank you.
And chronologically, I don't have enough time to consume all the knowledge that I got into this thing quite late in life, but I'm trying to, I've already been stung by the big V and all those other transmitted diseases.
Right.
I feel like I'm a sailor on shore leave here.
Yeah.
At times. And I'm so paranoid now, and computer help broke from these people trying to help me out, that before I go to bed at night, after I brush my teeth, I pull the modem power, and I shut down the computer. I don't know if I'm being foolish or highly paranoid, but I can rest easier at night.
As long as you can rest easier, that's what counts. Joseph, we will get this cleared up this week, you and I together.
And we should probably mention that Nick Light is the free version of Ask Nick that you can subscribe to and try it out.
Right, and Ask Nick is only $15 a year.
I would be interested to know if he uses his credit card at restaurants. He's so paranoid about using his credit card on the internet, but he probably gives it to the waiter who disappears with it for 20 minutes.
Right. And we've all seen that new ad on the air. Thank you, Mr. Smith, or whatever.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
All right, our next caller is Bob from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
How are you?
Peachy, how are you?
Good, thank you. I'm not a regular caller, but I call you when I have a problem. I've got a brand new, about 5 weeks old, which was custom made by HP, an Elite 5000, which I'm thrilled with. It's got, a terabyte of memory. It's got the fastest processor right now money can buy. I'm very thrilled with it. The only problem is, and I did call HP, and I haven't followed up again because a lot of people there you talk to are just clueless. Sometimes when I go to turn it on, I turn on the tower first, and then I turn on the monitor. It's a 24-inch 1080p high-resolution monitor. And sometimes the monitor, it comes on almost like a DVD that you're watching on your TV. If you stop the DVD and turn the DVD player off, there's still power to the screen, but you don't have a picture. So that's sort of like what's happening. I know the power's on. The screen has changed color, but it's still like a dark, dark color. Nothing comes up, like in
Ever?
The startup process.
Or does it come up later?
No, it doesn't come up at all. You see it powers up, like you see a slight change dark black, but then it just doesn't come up at all. I've got to shut everything down and restart everything. Then it asks me, do you want to start Windows normally? And I say yes.
It almost sounds like a video driver issue or video card issue, because the monitor, as long as it's getting, the signal and coming on, that's one thing. But if it's not getting the signal in a sufficient time, or, refreshing it fast enough, it almost sounds like your video card could be bad.
And you also said it was a 1080p monitor. Is this a monitor or a television?
No, it's a monitor. No, it's the monitor. 1080- I was just using a television as an example.
Okay, yeah, because 1080p is not a monitor resolution. So it could be the mismatch between the resolution of your monitor and the resolution the video card is capable of.
No, the video card is it's a terabyte video card, and that's the reason I bought that one, because it would run and back up anything. So I'm just, is it possible just the video card itself is just simply defective?
Could be, yes,
absolutely,
like
possible.
Anything else? I mean, thing that is does it boot up all right in safe mode?
In which mode? I'm sorry.
Well, he doesn't even get that far, right? I mean, if he turns the thing on and never sees anything on his screen, how's he even going to get to
right?
Safe
it depends.
Mode?
It depends on whether the monitor isn't coming up or the computer's not coming up. So
the computer seems like it's coming up, just not the monitor. So then I just shut everything down, and it says, do you want to start Windows? Normally, I say yes, and it's fine. It's usually fine as long as I turn everything back.
Does this happen more often in the colder weather? It's only 5 weeks old. You don't know.
I wonder if he's got another monitor that he could try out. I mean, if you have another old monitor that you could just quickly hook up to it.
Right.
And this will help eliminate and tell you whether it's the actual monitor or the video card. Because if you hook up, say, another monitor and go to boot it up and it boots up fine, then you got an issue with the monitor. But if it's not and you're getting the same issue, then it's going to be the video card.
Okay.
But does this happen every time you boot up, or just
No, it does not. It's just once in a blue moon. Like, probably, maybe once a month or once every 3 weeks, and I probably turn it on 3 or 4 times a day, so just once in a while.
It still sounds like... it sounds like either the video card or the driver is not right, but something is intermittently failing, and of course, intermittent failures are the worst.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Just like going to the car mechanic, it does it as soon as you get to the car mechanic, it stops.
Yeah. But you've still got this under warranty, right?
Oh, yes, and actually I purchased, which was extra, a plan where an actual HP rep comes into the home if there's a problem.
Yeah, but the problem is he comes to your house and it doesn't happen. He goes away and it does.
Yeah, I know.
That's the problem with intermittent.
Okay. When it doesn't work... Leave it at that state. Call the HP guy and don't touch it till he shows up.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously.
Which could be several days, but
probably.
And that will tell you something too. If it eventually does come back on in a day, then that'll tell
you
something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll keep an eye on it. Thank you for your help.
Good luck.
Thank you very much. Okay. Yep.
We often tell our customers where that happens. They bring it into the shop and it works. Drive halfway to the shop and then loop around and go home so it thinks it's at the shop.
Yeah. Right. All right, we are going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39. I'm going to do as many of them as I can. It is 39 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Rob Linton!
I'm going to miss that. Listen, can you... Call me on the phone maybe every Sunday and just, call me and I'll say hello. And
I get up about 7 on a Sunday. Is that good for you?
What's that?
I get up about 7 on a Sunday.
Well, don't be surprised that I may say something in return to that. But
that can't go over the air.
That can't go over the radio. That's right.
It's 44 minutes after the hour and we...
I gotta put a shameless plug in. Have
Chris pull that out of the podcast and we'll make that little button on the Soundbites front page.
You can make it your ringtone.
Yeah!
You're a genius.
It'll scare the you-know-what out of me whenever my phone rings, but I'll love it.
You'll love it!
They go,
Rob Linton!
All right,
hold on, here it comes. You ready? So you can pull it out.
Yep.
Rob Linton, ladies and gentlemen!
I love that.
No, we've been talking about folks, they've been calling about viruses and all that, and I just wanted to announce that the official version 2.0 of the Soundbites CD is now out and available.
Except to me, apparently.
It's sitting on the counter.
Yeah.
Is it online yet, Dave? I do need a copy.
No, I don't put it online. Well, you can order it online, but I don't put it up online.
But I mean links to the programs that are on it.
No.
Okay.
Not completely.
No.
Well, some of that's on the Security Tango page, but that hasn't been updated.
Yeah, that hasn't been updated. But
And that's the reason I need the new thing, so I can update the Security Tango page.
I will get it to you. But the new and improved version 2.0, which has major I mean, major renovations to it. And my partner, Dan Deary, it's all due to him. He did a kick-butt job of rearranging it, making it very user-friendly, folks. We've added a lot of features that you've heard me talk about as far as other programs, and even a few little extras.
Excellent.
I need a copy for Father Ray. Sure. I'm tutoring.
There you go.
But, yep.
All right, we're right back to the phones. Our next caller is Brandon from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Brandon. What's your question?
My computer is infected with a 2009 antivirus.
Mm-hmm.
I went and used malware. What's it called?
Malwarebytes, yep.
Yeah, Malwarebytes. I used that, and it got rid of what I thought the whole thing.
Uh-uh.
But come to find out, my computer still has a runny nose because I get a pop-up every once in a while. When my computer sits in idle.
The two things that you got to do right now, the key things with the Malwarebytes, all right, for folks that are listening, and this will be sort of a mini rant, because I had a client, and I told him not, you know, he had to do certain things. And like Nick has said right along, a tango is a dance. You skip a step, it's not a dance. And I told him precisely what to do, and he calls me back and says, but it's still infected. I said, did you do this, this, and this? No, I didn't have time to. Well, then don't complain.
Yeah.
You've got it with the Malwarebytes. The key three things right now with Malwarebytes is run AVG, Super Anti-Spyware, and the Malwarebytes. Now, you not only have to run them once, you've got to run them twice. So you literally, while it's infected, install those programs, run it. Because quite often, the Windows Antivirus 2009 will stop you from updating. So you go ahead and run it with the initial data that you have for removing it. Same with Super Anti-Spyware. Run it. It will find stuff. You think, oh, great, I'm great. No, you're not. What you have to do is then reboot. Let it, it might tell you, no, it can't get to the updates. But if you select a different site, because what this program is doing is relying you on just getting the one particular site, and it blocks that one. So if you select a different one on the drop-down menu for updates, it will then go out, get the updates, come back, and you can rerun it. And it will find the rest of the stuff.
Yeah, it's like most of these programs, you need to keep running them until they don't find anything, because a lot of times it doesn't catch it on the first
pass.
Well,
this new Super Anti-Spyware 2009 is unbelievable. Hideous in that the fact that I had one client this week paid $79.95 to get it removed.
Wow.
Now, he thought.
No. Oh, this gets even better. I mean, he gets the splash screen that has the bar and shields and all that. It has an 805 number on it.
Oh, no.
805, folks, is down in the Caribbean. So he thought, oh, well, you know, because he downloaded the program and did it, and it was still infected. He thought, oh, great, I got this 800 number. He called the 800 number. And again, it was 1-800, I don't speak English.
Well, 805 is San Luis Obispo, California, so it must have been 850 maybe?
Could be.
Yeah.
But anyways, he thought he was calling tech support. That's the main thing.
That's
called him. They told him to do a couple other things. Go ahead, reboot, call back if he had any issues. He went ahead, made those changes, went to reboot. Now, he got a totally blue screen. Can't get into Jack. He goes to call back, and finding through the grapevine that once you call, they then mark that phone number, and then you just go to a constant business.
So not only is it fake antivirus program, there's fake help to go along with it.
All right, we have to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 49 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Rob Linton at 53 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites.
Well, just like saying that.
I almost hate to say this, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay!
It's that time once again. All right, kiddies, put on your footy jammies, grab a mug of hot cocoa, sit Indian style in a semicircle around the rocking chair, because if we can slap them awake, it's finally time for story hour for Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave? Uncle Dave!
Oh, you know I've been waiting for this.
You've been sleeping.
1 month.
Hoarding your energy for this one.
All right, the biggest thing I can say, and maybe this month off has taught me this. We all have to slow down.
Oh, yeah, that'll happen to you.
Slow down, idiot, because, you know, when you're in a hurry, that's going to cause problems. And your problems don't always mean a rush on my part. And what am I talking about? Oh, I had a very anxious customer. And the individual was in such a big hurry, getting ready to go to the airport, I believe it was, and, you know, packing things up and everything else, hops in the car, goes to back out, and the car sort of hit like a speed bump.
That's funny. I don't have speed bumps in my driveway.
Exactly. But he did
now.
He did still have his laptop in the bag behind the back tire. And needless to say, just like we say, the fall will never hurt a laptop, tires do. They wind up putting a sufficient amount of pressure on it and wound up cracking the screen. So, folks, with laptops, I mean, they're making them durable, and they can take a beating and everything else.
But the difference between durable and bulletproof.
Yeah, you've got to take some caution because it's right up there with the other person that I had brought in the computer. On the laptop, and again, it was one of these, he was late for a meeting, quick thought he hooked, unhooked the network connection in his mouse, grabbed the notebook, and went to run out of the office, and quickly got whipped back, because the power was still hooked up. Then he comes to me and says, well, it's only this little thing here, that should be easy to replace.
It should be.
And then I tell him, yeah, it is, it's only going to take about 6 hours. And they go, what?
And it's a $5 part that takes 6 hours to tear apart, resolder, and put back together. Yeah.
I says, yeah, but here, listen. You see this nice little thing computer? Yeah. I said, that has to go apart like the day it was born. We literally have to take it hundreds of screws out and get at the motherboard to flip it over and unsolder it. Oh.
All right. Hold him down while I give him a shot. Kitties, rinse out your hot cocoa mugs. You can take off your footy jammies and dress up again. And we're going to put Uncle Dave back on the shelf for quite a long little while now.
Yeah, I got to go into January?
Yeah, probably. All right, we are going to take a break. It is time for the things you really listen to Wham for, the news, the weather, the sports, all of the important stuff. When we come back on the other side, if you're on the line, please stay on the line. If you're not on the line, I have no idea why you're not, because we're having fun here. We will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 57. I just am going to keep saying it. I don't care. Rob Linton. Rob Linton. Rob Linton. I don't care. I'm going to keep saying it. It's going to be your ringtone. I know it is. We're going to get it to you for your ringtone. We will be back maybe we'll put it up on the website. Anybody can download it as their ringtone. I love this idea. Hundreds of people with Rob Linton ringtone. Rob will be out and about somewhere, and he'll hear somebody else's phone going off. It's 57 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Rob Linton! And at 4 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. All right, every week we do a poll on our website, soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Last week's poll, completely unimportant. This week's poll, however, is important. This week's poll is based on a news article confirming recent comments by Microsoft CEO Steve Developer Ballmer. An independent study released Friday found Microsoft.org's free Office Suite to be 5 times more popular among adult U.S. internet users than Google Docs. Microsoft Office remains dominant, with 51% of American internet users over age 18 using it, according to a 6-month study conducted by market researcher Clickstream Technologies. OpenOffice.org was used by 5% of people versus Google Docs 1%. According to that survey between 2,400 users on their home PCs conducted between May and November of this year. OpenOffice.org was also found to be used more often, 8.7 days versus 1.5 days. Longer, an average of 9.3 minutes versus 3.4 minutes for Google Docs, according to the Clickstream panel, of which two-thirds was comprised of women. Oh, improper use of the word comprised. During a keynote speech at a Gartner Inc. conference last month, Ballmer said, "We have better competition today than Google Docs and spreadsheets. We get more competition from OpenOffice and StarOffice, frankly. And OpenOffice is free. It gives you all the same stuff, and it's free. Why are you paying money for Microsoft Office when this stuff is free?"
And even before OpenOffice was available for free, StarOffice has been $69.95 for 15 years.
And does all the same stuff. That's right. That's absolutely right. And you can read and write Microsoft Office formatted documents. It's great. So anyway, this week's poll, my Office suite of choice, and there are 10 choices here. Google Docs, iWork, just so that the Mac people won't whine this week. Lotus Smart Suite, Lotus Symphony, Microsoft Office, NeoOffice, OpenOffice.org, StarOffice, Other, so that the other people won't whine, and none. And so far, I'm sure there are going to be whines up on the site at some point, but right now we have approximately 79 votes, of which OpenOffice.org has squeaked ahead by one vote. Microsoft Office with 32 votes, OpenOffice with 3. 5 for none. NeoOffice got 3. iWork got 2 votes. Congratulations.
I still use AppleWorks.
Then you say Other.
Other, yeah.
Which
you're
already
still
has
in the 20th
vote.
Century, Steve.
Use AppleWorks?
Yeah, I've used it for 15 years. I like it.
Well, yes. You know it works.
It works, yeah. Yeah.
Movies are in color, you know, now.
And really? They talk,
yeah,
in
they
it.
Talk to it.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah. They're talking in it.
Well,
now.
Anyway, when you're done with the poll, I know that's not enough for you folks. So underneath it, there will be a little yellow box. If you click on Give Us Your Opinion, it takes you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
Well done. Well done.
I thought he was going to blow you up.
I was hoping.
That's...
Yay! There we go! All right. That's Rob.
Where you can actually leave an opinion, and as I said before, check out AskNick.com, only $15 a year. You get the newsletter, you get my forums, you can search the newsletters, which is by itself alone worth the $15 a year. And then come back and join us on Soundbites.
What we should remind folks, though, is because, you know, we're here this week, but we're going to be, you know, doing the webcast again. Remind folks that we're going to be on Saturdays, whatever time the SU football game is on.
Right.
So we come in on the studios on our normal Sundays, record an hour to then be broadcast on the following Saturday whenever the SU football game is on. We will be on the webcast. So the best, and then we will be doing our normal time in Second Life on Sundays at 11:45 to, 1 o'clock?
Yeah.
And then remind folks that we are also every Friday night in Second Life at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. That's 6 o'clock
Linden
Time or Pacific Standard Coast Time. And we've got quite a crowd coming there, too. I think we're up to over 140 folks in our group, and we've only been doing this since September. And the group is quite a diverse group. Well, we've had folks from England.
Yep.
And
for those of you who can't remember any of this stuff, I will try to remember every week to put it up on Twitter as well. So if you follow me, Nick Francesco, I'll be saying, you know, we're about to do this and this and this and whatever that's all about. All right. We're back to the phones now. Our next caller is Peg from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Peg. What's your question?
I have a question regarding wireless router. I installed a wireless router in my daughter's house. It's worked fine for about a month. All of a sudden this week, when it's a two-story colonial, the router's upstairs. When they're downstairs, they don't get a signal. When you start to walk up the stairs with a laptop, about halfway up the stairs, it picks up the signal, it connects, and it's fine.
Antenna polarization.
It's a brand-new router. It's got an internal...
Did it originally work right?
Yes.
And then all of a sudden it stopped.
For about a month, it's been fine. You know, and we don't know what's changed. Phones haven't changed in the house.
Did you rearrange the furniture at all?
Nope, she hasn't touched anything in the house at all.
This router, it's upstairs.
What kind is it?
It's a Lynx, Rangemaster.
Linksys, yeah. It's upstairs, yes?
It is upstairs.
Have you put anything new under it?
Nope, it's sitting out on the desk. It's not even inside the desk.
What's under the desk or in the desk?
On top of the desk. It sits right
no, what's
the desk
it, what is in or under the desk?
The tower to her computer.
It's probable if the tower is right under the router.
Okay.
That the tower is blocking the signal.
Anything metal will block the signal.
So if you put something metal in one of the desk drawers, for example, and that's under the router, or the computer itself has been moved to under the router. You will completely block that signal.
But you can about halfway up the stairs, it picks up the signal and connects fine.
Sure, because two things. First, you're closer, so the signal bouncing off is gonna hit you. And secondly, halfway up the stairs, you're no longer under it. You're sort of catty corner to it.
Yeah, it's real.
And the signal is sneaking around whatever the blockage is.
Okay. Have you tried powering down resetting the router?
Not resetting. Powering down, yes. Turning everything off, turning it all back on again. We've done that. That didn't make any difference. I even took my laptop over because mine's a brand-new laptop, and it wouldn't connect either.
Positioning the router in a different spot.
Okay.
Or change the angle of the antenna. That's something that might have been accidentally moved.
It's an internal antenna. It doesn't have an antenna that you can see.
See, I don't like that about the N routers. Yeah. There's no antenna you can aim.
It's a range plug.
Generally, they actually have orientation of that router. Right. Change the orientation of the antenna.
Right. They often, some of them have a port.
An external antenna port, yeah.
And if you buy an extra, what I had to do in my house is very old and it's all chicken wire and lath and plaster, mm-hmm. and so it's a Faraday cage. What I had to do is buy a different router, a very high gain, very high end, very powerful antenna, and then plugged it into the back and then just laid that down on the floor. It had its own cord, of course, and so I laid that down on the floor, essentially pointing downstairs.
Okay.
And that's what did it for me.
Try setting it on the
floor. I would try those things before I got all nuts with everything else, just rearranging
set up,
things.
Know, in the back part of the desk, on the floor.
Okay, it's worth a try. I mean,
Let us know, though.
Router, it worked fine, yeah. And all of a sudden it just doesn't.
Yeah, give us a buzz back, though, and let us know.
Okay, very good. Right.
Do you have a password on your wireless?
We do.
Okay. Yep. I've seen some wireless have a power setting, so it doesn't leak into the neighbor's house.
Okay.
But then it also could not leak downstairs.
We haven't touched any of that.
Yeah,
so that
yeah well, that's what I was saying. Do you have a password on it? Maybe right. Someone else got into it.
Right, but clearly they didn't.
Yeah.
Why would someone get into it and lower the power so they couldn't get into it again?
Yeah, no.
Well, I went in and looked. It's just
something.
Auto, right. Whatever.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You know, yeah, give that a shot. Let us know.
Recommends. All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Our next caller is Linda from Perry, New York. Welcome, Linda. What's your question?
Hi. Hi. I had a question about navigation, and thanks for taking my call, by the way.
Sure.
Navigation, 3D navigation in Second Life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
I did get the browser and everything, and it seemed as though right-left arrow is an immediate response, but moving forward or backward is very much lagged.
What kind of machine do you have, and how powerful is the graphics card?
Well, it's probably a middle of the road.
And that's a large part of the problem. Here's the deal.
Right.
When you are moving left to right, mm-hmm. Everything that was already in sight is still in sight.
Yeah.
But when you move forward, new things in the distance come into sight. They have to be downloaded from the website, from Second Life, and then rendered.
Yeah, I get that.
And that slows it down.
It's just that other 3D places, navigation's very easy and smooth in the same computer that I have.
Are you using the Second Life client, or are you using OnRes?
Second Life.
Try the OnRes client.
Uh-huh.
There's another client called OnRes,
okay.
And that one has a little less demands on the graphics.
Right.
It'll work just as well. The menu looks a little different, takes a little getting used to, but since you're new to Second Life anyways, it's really not that much different, and it might perform a little bit better for you.
Okay.
The other thing you might want to try is in Second Life, in the preferences, make your cache bigger.
Yeah.
Particularly for places you normally go. What I tend to find is I have a very high-end, high-end graphics card.
Yeah.
It used to be very high-end, now it's only high-end. And when I go someplace new, it takes a while for everything to res in.
Yeah.
But once it has done so, everything is fast.
Right. Well, just out of curiosity, have you been to, like, Active Worlds, which is Renderware, or a VRML based?
Right.
Or something.
Right.
You have to load them, but they load more quickly, and then navigation is very easy.
Right. And VRML is a different protocol and is actually a smaller packet.
That RWX, though,
is Active World, and that is the same way. It's very easy.
Right.
Very correct. Fast. So I just wondered.
Right. No, it's not you, it's them. And, of course, they're also, at the moment, victims of their own success.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Their servers are kind of overloaded. They're putting new servers online as fast as they can.
Yeah, I saw them on MSNBC, on the financial channel.
Right.
Yeah, CSNBC or whatever it is.
Yep.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, thanks.
Yep, thanks.
Bye-bye. Yep, Second Life is doing great guns, and that's both the good and the bad news, of course. All right, our next caller is Bruce from Macedon. Welcome, Bruce. What's your question?
Hello, how you doing?
Peachy, how are you?
Love your show.
Thank you.
You guys are a hoot.
Thanks.
I got a question for you on internet service providers.
Right.
I don't do gaming or anything fancy, just, you know, pretty much email.
Right.
And I was looking for something, you know, I heard about Roadrunner Lite and, you know, other ones, but right now I've got people's PC, you know, dial-up.
Right.
And it's brutal. So I'm looking for life beyond dial-up.
Right. Any of the lighters, you know, whether it's cable or DSL, mm-hmm. The lighter versions will be much faster than your dial-up.
Okay.
It's almost not terribly much more expensive.
It's interesting, the differential. With DSL and Roadrunner, their light packages are maybe 1 megabit for $30 a month. And the full package is 10 megabits for $40 a month.
Oh, wow.
So right. it's barely any more to really increase your speed.
The real cost is the infrastructure.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
But, you can do it. But as Steve says, you know, it's penny wise and pound foolish.
Yeah.
At that point, spend the extra $10 and get the real connection.
You know, an extra $10 at the end of the year is $120 a year.
Right.
Yeah, but if it's going to make your life an aggravation.
Right.
But
you'll often find that once you have higher speed internet, you're likely to do bigger and better things.
Okay.
You know, watching more video online, downloading bigger files, you know, because you can.
Yeah.
You try to watch a video on dial-up and it's terrible.
Yeah.
So you never do it. But once you can do it, you probably will.
Okay. So who locally besides, you know, Roadrunner, Time Warner, whatever, provides
those
Time
things? Warner does it. Frontier does it. There are a couple of other companies that you can get.
There's Clear,
DirecTV, there's Clearwire.
Clearwire uses broadcast internet.
Right. So there are a number of them around. We don't generally recommend anyone in particular.
Because it's six of one, half a dozen the other. You know, two people with say Frontier, one person will have a great experience because they're close to the switch, and one other person will have really slow because they're far from the switch. There's so many other variables involved.
They're different tools for different jobs.
Right. In my neighborhood, for example, one of them used to be insanely fast and then slowed down horribly to the point where I had to check out the other one. And the other one was great for me, whereas for people who live farther away, it wasn't so great. So
you'll also find some of the national companies like Earthlink. Earthlink DSL resells Frontier, and Earthlink Cable will resell Time Warner. In fact, I had a friend that signed up for Earthlink Cable, and she got this letter, you know, after her sign-up fee. Now, for your convenience, we're going to have Time Warner bill you.
That's right.
Gotta love that.
Right.
Yeah.
But I would make the calls and see what they think the speed would be for you and what the cost would be. And
whatever
and
the
go
current best package is at the moment, too. That's the usual big thing, the new user discount packages.
Okay. Now, another question is, do they rely on phone lines or DSL?
Yeah, DSL is phone line, and cable is your cable TV line.
Okay.
So there are limitations in both technologies.
And Clearwire will be a radio link.
Yeah, Clearwire is radio. For DSL, you have to be close enough to the phone switch. So if you're too far away, too Macedon, and, you know, could be out in the boonies, you may have to go with cable as the only one. If you have cable TV, you probably can get cable internet.
Right. All right, we got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 20 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Rob Linton at 24 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites. Hey, this is great. Well-known rocker Neil Young and Sun Microsystems' James Gosling, the creator of Java. Those are not two names I would have ever thought to put together in a news story. Are working on a Java-enabled hybrid electric Lincoln convertible. to compete in the Automotive X Prize, a competition for 100 mile per gallon vehicles. The Link Volt, they're going to have to talk to Chevy about that name. Young's entry in the X Automotive Prize competition is a 1959 Lincoln Continental Mark IV.
Wow.
Now, there was a car.
Yeah, it
was.
Yes.
That has been repowered by it with a new series hybrid system and runs on electricity produced by a generator powered by natural gas.
It's not the Batmobile car, is it?
No.
No. A couple of Canadian-born superstars in their own diverse fields, rocker Neil Young and the father of Java, Dr. James Gosling of Sun Microsystems, found some common ground. For about 14 months, Young has been working with a team from Wichita, Kansas, to develop the Link Volt, a hybrid electric CNG clean natural gas car that uses a natural gas piston engine to keep it charged up while it's on the road. According to the Link Volt project's website at linkvolt.com, linkvolt.com, the Link Volt is a classic 1959 Lincoln Continental Mark IV. Wow. That has been repowered with a series hybrid system and now runs on electricity produced by natural gas power generator. Java is playing a major part in this project, which is why I get to talk about it here, beside the fact that it's just freaking cool.
Yeah, it is.
Perrone Robotics has installed sensors that use Java technology to monitor performance elements in the Link Volt as it travels down the road. These data are displayed in a touchscreen panel in the car. The controls let the driver keep tabs at all time on how good the electrical charge is, how much natural gas fuel remains, and other real-time information. And only twice a week do you get the "you must download an update to Java" screen. The GPS on board also keeps the driver informed about the location of the nearest source of natural gas. Back seat next to the pork rinds.
You know what makes me wish I still had my 62 Studebaker?
Oh, nice car.
That would be a good thing to do with that.
I had a 68 Bel Air, 3-on-the-tree,
yeah.
4-0-something engine. I forget the number.
The Studebaker had tubes in the radio.
There you go.
Yeah.
Pretty cool stuff. All right. It's back to the phones. You're all going to look at you're all pretending you're going to see how Java works, but you're actually all going to look at that 59 Lincoln. I know you are. Our next caller is Greg from Newark. Is this Newark, New York, or Newark, New Jersey? Greg, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Is it Newark, New York, or Newark, New Jersey?
Newark, New York.
All righty. What's your question?
Well, I've got about a 4-year-old Sony Vaio RB32. I am a WoW head, so I do get on the internet and play some games. Other than that, we use it for general family stuff. My question is that the computer started to slow down a bunch lately, and I'm getting some errors from the fan speed being low, plus with the new launch of WoW, the graphics is suffering. I'm wondering whether it would be your suggestion that I dump the system and get something new, or if I take it into a store and have everything sort of cleaned up on it.
Well, cleaned up will help a little.
Yeah.
The new version of WoW, for those of you who are not in the know or are not lead enough, is World of Warcraft. And that's a pretty hefty graphics product.
Yep.
And the newer the version, the heftier those graphics demands are going to be. And there's simply no updating that on a laptop.
No, it's not a laptop.
He said a desktop.
Oh, okay.
4-year-old desktop.
But it is 4 years old. And I suppose you can upgrade the graphics card and you can get it all cleaned out and you can do all of that. But by the time you've done most of that stuff, you're halfway to a new machine anyway.
Yeah. Okay. It's like putting a Band-Aid on a leaking pipe and, you know, you're just patching it. You're not really improving any of the performance.
Yeah.
Now, are you married?
Yep, married, kids, all that.
There you go. What you do is you let them use that computer as a second computer in the house.
The kids, not your wife. Your wife, of course, has full privileges on the new computer.
And you get a higher-end machine.
We give Merrill advice here, too, by the way.
And, you know, turn the other one into another computer that you can supervise for the kids where they go and do their homework and all that stuff, and you use the new computer for the gaming.
Now, can I expand my question to you just a little bit more and ask for a recommendation based on what I would want to use it for? What would you recommend?
I would recommend that you call either Enright PC at
442-4843
or MacAv at
924-1920.
and speak to them. Buy local. Keeps your money in the local economy. It gives you a face to look at if there's a problem, and these guys will take personal good care of you.
And I still build the systems with Windows XP.
Okay.
Which gives you better compatibility. And for gaming, you want a dedicated video card. Integrated
one gig.
Yeah, integrated graphics is cheap. Dedicated is faster.
So one gig, four gig of memory, maybe a 320 gig hard drive, you know, a DVD burner, 42-in-1 card reader.
Can you ballpark me?
You want a screen with that, too?
Or use your existing screen.
Yeah, no.
I can use the existing screen. It's a 19-inch X-Bright. It does a fine job.
Off the top of my head, I'd say you're looking at, again, this is, don't hold me to it, around $1,200 for a nice high-end system.
That's nothing, because I think this original system, I got raked in Circuit City for like $3,000 or something like that.
Yeah, that's what a replacement will cost, too. I get 10%. I get 10%. Okay. Okay.
That works.
Anyway, give one of these guys a call and keep your money in the local economy and do yourself some good.
This way we can configure it to what you need. And,
yep.
You know.
All right. All right. Our next caller, Gene, in Ontario, New York. Welcome, Gene. What's your question?
Yeah, my question is Vista finally going to be squaring away their problems to where it's much easier to function with Vista, or are we stuck with it forever?
You're in luck. Soon there will be Windows 7, and Vista will be merely a bad memory.
That will be out later this spring.
Yeah, and the problems with Vista have a little bit been overblown, and this is the Mac guy talking. Vista itself is okay
on an individual
on a brand
Vista
new computer that
by
has
itself.
Right Vista by itself on a brand new computer with enough RAM and enough horsepower. The problems have been people upgrading old computers, older peripherals. If you
are trying to get it to work with an old printer.
Old printers.
Which works fine with XP, if but doesn't.
If you have a printer more than a year old, it may not work. If you have a scanner more than a year old, it may not work. So it's almost unfortunate, but that's the way the industry has been turning, is that when the new stuff comes out, all the old stuff quits working.
So that means that, does it mean, you're saying that Microsoft is coming with something much better?
Yeah, the next version of Windows is coming.
Well, they've been telling us it's going to be better, but they told us Vista was going to be better.
Okay.
Well, it depends on how you define better.
Because I talked to you guys before. I'm a blind, visually impaired veteran, and Vista works horrible with JAWS.
With JAWS, yes.
Right, so that's the problem. It's the third-party software, not... I guess you can blame both sides, but it's third-party
software
and Vista. Well,
Microsoft's answer is, use our screen enhancer, our voice program. Which stinks.
It does stinks. It does stinks all the way. It's just a totally different world, and I tell you what, it drives you nuts trying to work with it.
Right. No, I know what you mean, Gene.
No, Gene, and until or unless JAWS comes out with an update that will work with Vista, you don't want to go there.
And they're probably going to hold off and wait.
JAWS version 8.0.2173 works with Vista, according to their website.
Yeah.
Works with and works well with are different.
Yeah, that's two different things.
And yeah, because JAWS, when you're using Vista with JAWS from the XP before that works real good, you have a different way of it expressing its way of operating. It says ribbon, and then you go into ribbon, you have to tap this, you have to tap that to get into your menus. It's really lousy.
Well, that's almost inherent in Vista, because one of the things they added was more eye candy, more graphics. Mm-hmm. So for someone with visual impairment, it's going to be harder to work around.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I think System 7 is going to correct that, and it's do or die for them, because Microsoft is sitting on a boatload of software that nobody wants, and is, to make companies, like I say, individuals, that's one thing. But to say, roll it out to, say, like a place like where Nick works, a university or a business, and tell them, your key tiering system isn't going to work. You're going to have to upgrade that, too. Companies don't want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
They want something that is going to work with their existing stuff, because they're not going to go through and just roll out everything.
Right. And I got to say to you guys, I appreciate a lot of our blind of veterans and those that are visually impaired as well, appreciate your show a heck of a lot.
Thank you so much, Gene. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And thank you for your service.
Yes.
All right, our next caller is Lance from Brighton, New York. Welcome, Lance. What's your question?
Well, I got two, but there's one in particular that was an Acer laptop, Mozilla, Firefox, and Thunderbird both. Roadrunner, and anytime I change the power, the battery charger, either turn it on or turn it off, I lose my web connection. Can't find it. The Firefox can't find the server, and Thunderbird can't get the mail.
This is if you turn the power on and off, or if you hibernate the machine?
Hibernate, I think, keeps what its last state was, but if I really start up on power on battery and then it runs down and I have to turn the charger on, then I lose my connection again. Now, there is a network connection subroutine that came with the machine, and I click on that, and it has an option of, it has four options. One of them is the local area connection, which is what I need, and it tells me, either tells me it's already connected, or it goes into enable and tells me when it is connected up, and then I just minimize that screen so I can use it again next time.
Right. So when you're running it on power, it's fine. When you're running it on battery, it's fine. But when you're running it on battery and then plug in the power, it loses connection?
Correct.
Okay, what that sounds like, that's a state change.
Yeah. Is there a location manager type thing?
Well, there is. And one of the things that it says is, you know, do you want to use this individual product, whatever it might be, this individual program, rather, on wireless or on battery or on power or both? And it may be that your setup is such that you've told it, you've really got two separate types of connections. One is a connection like at home when you're on power. The other is a connection on the road when you're on battery. And therefore, it's saying, oh, you're not home anymore. You're on the road. And it turns off the home connection but doesn't turn on the road connection.
Very interesting, but how do I get at it?
Yes,
how do I change that?
The Network Location Awareness Service. It should be a control panel, isn't it?
It's in the control panel, and it's part of
the power connection, or power options?
Yes, there's one for the power options, and there's also one specifically for the network connection. If you set up multiple connections on the thing, one for home and one for away, for example, you're going to find that that's exactly what happens. So if you get rid of the other one and tell it, always use this one, and I don't care which one it is, always use this one, then it should fix the problem.
Well, I have the network connection screen up now, and it doesn't have a power option. Now, maybe there is a setup. There is the four options are network setup wizard, new connection wizard, local area connection, and that's the one I've been using, and wireless network connection, which I avoid.
Well, but see, that's the problem. Local area connection and wireless network connection are each assuming two different things. So if I don't have Windows in front of me, I'm sitting on a Mac right now, so I can't lead you to it by hand. And I apologize for that. But somewhere in the control panel, and the guy who's on a Windows machine is looking that up, but now we have to go to commercial. The idea is you should be able to find that somewhere. And when I'm going to hang up on you, but when we come back from commercial, I'll try to tell you where that is. We're going to take a break back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you, 39 minutes after the hour. Sound bites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Rob Linton, and it's 43 minutes after the hour. We are Sound Bites. Before we go any farther, I do want to tell Lance that what he should look at is in his setup, right-click your wireless network connection. Click View Available Wireless Networks. On the Wireless Networks tab, make sure that you select Use Windows to Configure My Wireless Network Settings. if you've got a third-party product that's doing that, then every time you switch from local to network, it's going to think, oh, I have to switch to this other product, which then has to take over, and you have to tell it to connect. So if you tell Windows to always configure the wireless network settings itself, then you shouldn't have that problem anymore. All right. Let's go back to the phones, the heck of the news. Our next caller is Angela from Webster. Welcome, Angela. What's your question?
Well, good morning, and don't yell at me or laugh. I've got a Pentium 2 laptop.
Wow.
IBM ThinkPad, yeah. And right
see, at this point, we think of those as valuable antiques rather than something derisive.
Well, I still have my TI-99/4A, but let's
nice.
Go there. Okay, I'm trying to set up Wi-Fi, and an ex-boyfriend of mine who's very generous sent me a Belkin Wi-Fi card.
Yeah.
I downloaded all three versions of the driver. None of them seem to work.
What operating system are you using, Angel?
98SC.
And did one of those drivers say it supported 98SE?
All three of them did.
Now, the Belkin Wi-Fi card plugs into what kind of port? Is it the bigger PCMCIA port in the side?
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Okay, two things. First, check to make sure you're in. There may be two in there.
Yeah.
One over the other. It's kind of an over-under configuration. A, make sure you're actually tight in one of them. If that doesn't work, then go in the other one. When you plug it in, you should get a ding.
Yeah, or let you know that something was added to it.
Right.
Okay.
And then it should ask you for the driver. Did it do that?
It just said it detected hardware, but it couldn't download anything. So, not really.
Well, one thing that should say is, do you want to do it by hand? I mean, it doesn't quite say that. I don't remember what it says exactly in Windows 98.
Or have disk or search
whatever that is. And then you can point it to that file on your hard drive.
Okay. Now, how do I know, though, which of those three drivers, or do I know, which would be the best?
Because you have to know exactly what model card that is. And download.
And that should be written on the card itself.
Should be, or on the box. And then download that one driver. There shouldn't be three drivers for the same card.
No.
And if you put the wrong one in, you can make it worse.
Well, that's just it, though. It's like the FD60 and it had some numbers. And when I went to Belkin's website, there were three versions of it. And they even listed, like, Windows ME, Windows XP.
Well, then you want the one that specifically says Windows 98 SE.
And the newest one.
And the newest one of those.
The newest, okay. Mm-hmm.
The one with the latest date.
Right.
Okay. Now, one other quick question. I have a desktop that died on me. The only thing that comes up when I turn it on is the compact start screen. It does not boot up. It doesn't say it's running through, you know, the Windows startup configuration menu. I put a different hard drive in, hoping that it was just the hard drive that went bad. Mm-hmm. And I still get just the compact screen. So I was told it could be the motherboard or part of the power supply.
Could be part of the power supply or the motherboard. Could also be
without doing diagnostics.
Right.
The BIOS battery.
Driver card is actually now part of the motherboard. So, it could be any of those things, but without somebody diagnosing it, there's no way to tell.
No way to tell by remote control.
Sorry.
No.
And it looks like on the F5D 6020 notebook driver card, there's a version 1, a version 2, and a version 3. That should be printed on the card itself as to which version card it is, so you know which driver to get.
Right.
Because they're all dated the same, of course.
Yep, and then you got to go with the right version.
So it's the version of the card, not the version of the software it's listing.
Right. All right, our next caller is Ron from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Ron. What's your question?
Has anybody made mention of the fact that AOL no longer provides space on their servers for web pages? And everybody who had a web page as of November 1st, all the web pages are wiped out, all their files are irretrievable?
Yeah, we talked about that at one point in the news a while ago when they first announced it.
Yeah,
It's a sad day for those AOL people who had their stuff online. Finding another place to put it is not terribly difficult. Many AOL members at least, had other ways of doing that. For example, if you were getting your AOL, if you were connecting to AOL through your cable or DSL provider, likely those people also offer disk space. but then you'd have to move it. And, well, first you had to know it needed to be moved, and a lot of people don't ever read the news on AOL. And then you had to move it and then tell everybody it was moved. It was a real pain in the patoo.
They sent out a number of emails.
AOL should have emailed everyone several times.
And nobody reads those either. But, yeah, it was announced to all the AOL members for months, and then we announced it here in the news a couple of different times.
Oh, I never got any kind of email from AOL.
Yeah, they sent out a number of them. I'm shocked you didn't get one.
So Frontier and Time Warner, would they provide space for?
Yes, they do. Right.
ISP does. There's also some free web hosting services that will give you space as well.
So yeah, any of those work. We're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, ladies and gentlemen. Me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 49 minutes after the hour. We are Sound Bites. It's 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Steve, my mic just broke. 54 minutes after the hour, Steve has broken the mic at Wham.
Back away from the mic. Multi-million-dollar
facility.
Else gets hurt.
Well, that's all right. We're moving soon anyway.
You're right.
Define soon.
Yeah, I know.
In terms of geological eras, maybe. All right. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Jim from Leroy, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
You clean the flat screen on the new flat screen monitors?
Mm-hmm.
Plastic?
Yep.
How do you clean them?
What I normally recommend, and it's not only for the flat screens, but for regular screens, is you don't want to spray it right on the screens. You use a regular glass cleaner and spray the cloth.
Okay.
So it's just, you know, lightly moist.
Yep. But right.
Don't use glass cleaner, which has ammonia in it. Use screen cleaner.
Yeah, I mean the regular glass.
Eyeglasses cleaner.
That's what
right.
I meant.
Not,
I'm sorry.
Right, yes. not something like Windex or glass cleaner.
No.
That
I
will
use
damage
the regular eyeglass cleaner, you know, for my glasses. What I use on my regular glasses, it won't scratch. You know, it's not abrasive. And with the new coatings and that on the screens, you know,
And in terms of abrasive, don't use paper towels. Use the microfiber cloth or
t-shirt.
Eyeglass cleaner, microfiber cloth.
Right.
Best solution around. Yep.
iClear is a brand name of a company that sells cleaners. What's interesting is it's, 70% isopropanol?
Yeah.
So you go to the drugstore and buy a bottle of isopropanol.
Right.
Yeah. Regular alcohol.
Yeah, you can buy, you know, like Sam's Club, BJ's and all that. The Staples, they all have the now in a little pop-up container that you can get the screen cleaners.
Yeah. That's common for laptops, too.
Oh, those are abrasive, though.
Individual pre-moistened.
Oh, the new ones? They have new ones that are not abrasive?
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, iClear also has the individual pre-moistened towelettes that you can carry with you in your laptop.
Again, you got to read what you're buying, but yeah.
Yep.
Okay, the iClear towelettes wouldn't be abrasive. They'd work.
The new ones, make sure they say non-abrasive. They check the package.
Or they say laptop or LCD on them.
Yeah.
Right. Okie doke. Our next caller is Chris from Spencerport, New York. Welcome, Chris. What's your question?
Hey, guys. I just had a question about Windows 7.
Mm-hmm.
With Windows Vista, the big problem for me was that it increased the RAM requirements and your video requirements so much over XP. Is 7 set to improve on that at all?
No.
It'll probably make it worse.
Well,
It'll probably need even more memory.
No, I think from what I've been reading, it's going to be in between. Yes, it's still going to need memory requirements, you know, like anything else. They're going to raise the bar. But I think it's going to be between Vista and XP.
Okay, see, now that's not too bad. I just didn't want to have to run out and spend another $100 on upgrading.
Thing you got to understand about Windows Vista. You can turn off all of that eye candy. There is a classic mode, which makes it work visually just like Windows XP. So you don't need a high-end graphics thing, but you don't get any of the eye candy, which is really the only difference between Windows XP and Vista. So I don't know why you would pay for Vista and then run it as if it were XP, but just me.
And that's what people are getting caught by. They're buying cheap PCs with Windows Vista, you know, Starter Edition or whatever it is, and it has none of the extra features, and the machines don't have enough RAM to run it anyway. And that's where a lot of Vista's misconceptions have been coming from.
Right, and not only that, a lot of these preloaded machines don't offer drivers for XP either. That was what happened to me. So now I'm stuck with Vista.
Drivers always a problem.
The upgrade.
I heard a podcast recently by a industry insider. He says that Windows 7 will be suitable for netbooks, but what was not clear was maybe it's a special version of Windows 7 suitable for netbooks.
I see. All right, well, thanks, guys. I appreciate the info.
Thank you. Yeah. All right, have I got time for another call? No. All right. I hate to say it.
Well, we got to remind folks, so that, you know, again, we're not going to be on the air back until January. So check the web for the listings.
Root for the Bills to lose the playoffs.
And
oh boy, they're going to find him in the parking lot.
That was Steve Ray, ladies and gentlemen.
But come and please check us out in Second Life. It's another place where you can come and get your computer questions answered. We're there every Friday night. So, you know, come and join the fun. We have a good
time. And if you're confused by all of that, follow me on Twitter. I'm Nick Francesco, and I will be posting when we're on, where, when, what, why, who, and how.
And the Soundbite
Twitter. Once again, we have to thank. It's a very bittersweet day for us.
Yes.
On the one hand, we get rid of Rob Linton.
Nuts.
On the other hand, we don't get Alex until next week. I mean,
Rob,
we love you. We love
it's
you, and we will
slice.
Miss you terribly, terribly
it's
much.
It's been a lot of fun, guys. Thank you.
No, thank you for all your service and
thank you.
Having fun.
I hope to be back soon someday, maybe to fill in and keep you guys in line.
We'll on this side of the thing where you can laugh at who's ever sitting in the booth back there.
Okay.
I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Wright, and most particularly our good buddy, Rob Linton, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Nick Francesco. It is 59 minutes after the hour, and you've been listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. One last time, Rob Linton!